T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
Here's the pitch home, and he swings and misses strike three, and the ball game is over. He got him on a slider. Red Sox coming almost all the way back, but fall a run short, and despite a five-run ninth, Cincinnati hangs on to beat the Red Sox. Reds 9, Red Sox 8.
It's been the theme over the last 2 days in this town. The team's teasing us. Right at the end, the Celtics, they go to Game 7. They come all the way back from a 3-0 deficit. And, of course, they laid an egg yesterday. And then the Red Sox tonight, they look lifeless throughout the majority of this game. And then they score 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th. And then 5 in the 9th to mount this comeback. They have the tying run at 3rd. And Tristan Casas strikes out. And the Red Sox end up losing to the Cincinnati Reds by a score of 9-8 at Fenway Park. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. We're taking you all the way up to midnight. Love for you to join in on the conversation and what turned into an eventful game at Fenway Park. The way to do that, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937 as well. We'll get into a lot tonight. One good thing, the offense coming alive because they look lifeless through the first 6 innings of this game, and then they end up posting 8 runs over the last 3 innings. And when we watched this team on that West Coast swing, the offense was not performing. They had a couple of good games, but 25 runs over a 9-game span. And if you break it down even a little bit shorter than that, 15 runs over a 7-game span. And it looked like more of the same tonight before the end of this game. So maybe this will bring us into a nice offensive performance in the next 2 games coming up against the Reds. But in the end, too little, too late, and the pitching really betrays the Red Sox tonight. We'll get into Brian Bayo's start. A lot to dissect there because he ended up limiting the damage, and I think there's something to be said about that. However, he ends up throwing 97 pitches, only goes 4 innings, allows 1 run, but he got out of a lot of tough situations in this game and really had to work hard to get through 4 innings. And then the bullpen just doesn't quite do the job, and it's not the A-listers in the bullpen for the Red Sox that got out there on the mound. You heard Will Fleming say it at the end of the beginning of the Nissan postgame show there about how the game was sort of developing and who you had available, and then they end up letting Joely Rodriguez continue on. He ends up giving up 5 runs, and that inning ends up proving to be the difference. That the 5-run 7th inning, the grand slam he gives up to Jose Barrero, and in the end, because of that, because the bullpen just couldn't keep it where it was, the Red Sox offense coming alive late didn't end up proving to be a difference in this game. Again, as the Red Sox fall by a score of 9-8 against the Reds. Again, the number to call in here, 617-779-7937. One more time, 617-779-7937. And then the text, again, 37937. Is how you can chime into the conversation for tonight's game. Again, it's just a continuation of what's been a tough stretch here for Boston sports. I mean, again, the Celtics, what they did last night, that was brutal, right? They forced a Game 7 and then completely no-show. And then the Red Sox, they've had a little bit of a tough skid, and now they're back toward 500. And in this tough American League East that they're in, they can't lose games like this. It's not to say the Reds are a terrible team, but they're not a good team, so you need to be able to win games like this, and they just couldn't do that tonight. We'll get into the calls. We'll get more into the conversation, but first, let's go to Red Sox manager Alex Cora and hear what he had to say following tonight's loss.
What do you think of tonight?
Looking bad. No command. You know, a lot of pitches and in four innings, obviously. He got a, you know, made third no outs. He did a good job there. But a lot of pitches, you know, he was inefficient. He was behind in the count. The slider wasn't great. They fouled off a lot of pitches and put us in a bad spot. You know, they did a good job offensively.
That inning, did you see track of how many outs there were?
I think he, yeah. I mean, it's obvious, yeah.
In a situation like that, you guys just
think about when you run. He made a mistake. I believe so, because I think we were short to the ball and hit line drives. We weren't trying to do too much. I think we're getting caught up in sometimes and hitting the ball in the air. And I think, you know, in that inning, it was a very simple approach. We put the ball in play and good things happen. So hopefully we can take that going into tomorrow and keep gaining momentum offensively. Garza threw the ball well. Joely walked three guys, and he was behind in the count. So if you do that at this level, they're going to pay the price. I think at one point, you know, the leadoff had like four at-bats in six innings. So there was a lot of traffic, and, you know, in that inning, we're trying to, you know, we didn't turn on the play with Garza at one point, right? We didn't play good defense there. But with Joely, he was all over the place, walked three guys, and, you know, they did what they're supposed to.
You've talked a lot about the faith that you guys have in Casas and the underlying approach, but, you know, in terms of just, you know, game to game, you know, where do you see him being at in terms of selectivity and approach?
I think it's the same approach as March 29th. You know, it's still the same thing. So, you know, hit a ball hard. You know, he struck out against probably one of the best closers in the big leagues, you know. He was a little bit more aggressive today than usual, but think, you know, he's still working on his thing, and, you know, we've been talking about this for like the last 5 days. We're not going to go with a roller coaster like 0-for-4s or 3-for-4s, you know. The approach is the same, and we trust his kid.
I mean, you have, you know, obviously both Duran and Casas back-to-back in the last few games, you know, both guys who haven't had a full big league season. How much do you have to just, you've talked about it not being an opening, but how much do you just,
I mean, we got where we have right now with all the lefties. I think that's the best lineup that we can put out there, splitting Turner and Hernandez, you know, hitting seventh and having those two lefties in between them. You know, it helped us with a few things and then with matchups late in the game. So, you know, we like what we're doing. Jaron today had an okay day. He went the other way. That was good. So that was start something well, good. Casas hit the ball hard in the previous at bat. So, yeah. Doogie's not feeling, he's not feeling great, so, yeah.
Like an illness type thing?
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
You expect him tomorrow?
He should be okay, yeah. We're good?
So a little bit of clarification there at the end why we did not see Alex Verdugo in the lineup tonight. He ends up getting the day off. You just heard Alex Cora say due to illness, just giving him a little bit more time to rest, but likely will be in the lineup tomorrow. If you're just joining us, the Reds beat the Red Sox 9-8 today at Fenway Park. The call's coming in here, 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones, and we'll go to Vincent on the Mass Pike. Vincent, what's going on?
Hey there. Just left the Red Sox game. Just wanted to say, said that the highlight of Boston sports in the last month has been Taylor Swift selling out Gillette Stadium for the weekend.
And I will say, I did go to that concert with my fiance. The tickets were for her. It was a great event. So I will swear by that I think you're right. That's the best thing that's happened in this town over the last month. Did you go?
I did not. I know a lot of people who did. Shout out my sister Alicia, my friend Nikki for trooping it in the rain on Saturday. I'd rather listen to Taylor Swift sing Love Story in the pouring rain and sit through seven more innings of a Red Sox baseball game this season.
Well, Vince, we appreciate the call. A little dark humor there for what has been a tough stretch for Boston sports. I mean, you just gotta laugh through the pain at this point with what happened with the Celtics and losing Game 7 at the Garden. What happened with the Bruins before that too? I mean, to have 2-8 seeds beat you already know what happened. We don't need to, we can try to move past that. But you know, the Red Sox again tonight falling to the Reds 9-8. It's a season that, you know, the expectations for tonight were not high, right? So where they are right now, two games above 500, it's not as if you're so disappointed by where they are, because the expectations coming into the season, frankly, for this team with who you saw on this roster, were not, you know, sky high. You know, you didn't think they were going to win the division, but this team was playing well. And now they've kind of fallen back to this 500 mode. Again, they're two games above 500. But first, it was the offense on the road trip really not performing up to task after getting off to a nice start. You know, they end up, you know, winning the series against the Padres. And, of course, they win the series against the Diamondbacks, too. But to get swept like they were against the Angels. And then, you know, the pitching in the beginning of the season was not doing well. And now it's the hitting that was slumping. They come back. They perform well. They finally come alive in the ninth inning, and yet it's too late. It ends up being too late in this game, and they lose 9-8 again against the Reds team that, you know, coming into the night, 18th in runs scored, 28th in homers. You know, they get on base, but they don't slug. So, you know, this is a tough loss. And again, you're now continuously losing to teams that you should be beating up on if you want to compete for a wild card spot, which I always thought optimistic. Look at this team. They could compete for like one of the second or third wild card spots. Again, that's the most optimistic view of the Red Sox and what they have on the roster. But if you lose games like this, it's not going to happen. And again, now they're 2-8 against National League Central teams. We still have a full hour of Red Sox review. Joe Weil with you. Joe Braverman behind the glass doing his magic. Again, the number to call in, 617-779-7937. You can also text into the show, 37937. Whole lot more to discuss about tonight. Brian Baio's start, the Red Sox offense, Rafi Devers getting a couple hits. That's nice to see, but the struggles also of Tristan Casas and Jaren Duran, something we definitely have to touch on as well. Stick around, more Red Sox review coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Another solemn night in Boston. Red Sox fall today 9-8 against the Cincinnati Reds. The team at least, very least, showed some life, which was not the case throughout the majority of this game. And you could hear it from Will and Joe's voices and just from watching the game, if you were watching the game as well, there was really no life from this team to start this game. And when they ended up falling down 8-0, you thought the game was over. You'd be kidding yourself if you didn't. But the Red Sox did show some fight. And again, they had the tying run at third in the bottom of the ninth inning. All of a sudden, they score 3 in the seventh and then 5 in the ninth to make it a one-run game. Tristan Casas ends up striking out to end it. So despite the late comeback, you know, they had nothing to show for it but an L, but maybe it's something that does transfer into the next game tomorrow against the Reds. Again, the Red Sox falling 9-8. The number to call in here for Red Sox Review, 617-779-7937. We're taking you all the way up to midnight. Joe Weil with you. Joe Braverman behind the glass. Let's go now back to the phones. Wally in Fall River wants to talk about Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas. Wally, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Joe? I mean, this game was 8-0. They fought back, but it just wasn't enough. You're coming off a lousy road trip, mediocre. It's Memorial Day, so this team is just about where we expected it. What are we now, 2 games over .500? But Cincinnati stinks. I mean, it's not the big red machine of the 70s or 90s. This team stinks, so you figure we're going to sweep them and maybe try and do something with the Rays, take 3 out of 4. But I don't know. I thought the Cincinnati manager would have brought his closer in a little bit earlier than what he did. But as far as Tristan Casas, the guy seems lost. He's just struggling. I mean, he's trying to hit the ball 900 miles. The same way with Duran. They're both, you know, really, you're not getting much out of them. So we're going to need Duvall to come back. I don't know what the timetable on him is, and the same way with Story. But as far as having 7 left-handed bats, in the lineup, that seems to be hitting us a little bit now.
Yeah, no, Wally, I completely agree with you. And it's funny with Adam Duvall, right? There was a time in which this offense was just clicking on a day-to-day basis. And the question was, well, how do you incorporate Adam Duvall back into the lineup? And of course, he got off to such a great start. You think about where this offense in its totality would be if he was, you know, healthy this entire season. But they need him now. They definitely do need him now. And yes, they did score 8 runs in this game, but it was right at the end. And before that, you saw what was happening. It's been a weird season for Rafi Devers, too. And that's something I definitely want to touch on throughout the show tonight. But just going back to the two guys that Wally mentioned in Jaron Duran and Tristan Casas. Now, Casas 0-for-5 tonight, 2 strikeouts, right? The average is now below 200 again. However, coming into tonight, his numbers have improved by a lot since the beginning of the season. So April, March, you combine those 2 months, he had 133. OPS was at 576. Now in 21 games this month, 277 batting average, 360 on base, 462 slugging. So it has been an upward trajectory for him. The problem is the beginning of the year numbers are so brutal that His line now, despite having a really solid month of May, and he had a nice road trip too, he's now back at 193, so back below 200, and that slugging percentage is at 359. And the on-base, despite the fact that he does walk a lot, it's at 308, which is not exactly where you'd want him to be. I'm still willing to give him time, right? He's only a rookie. He's still figuring it out. And again, at least you're seeing the arrow point up. Jaron Duran, this stretch has concerned me a little bit, and now Alex Cora did mention in his post-game press conference that we played a little bit earlier that he did do a nice job taking the ball the other way for a double. But the one thing that's been a little concerning is his ability to just handle fastballs. And Will Fleming mentioned this in the broadcast time and time again, but if you look at the numbers for him this season, the fastballs he has struggled a lot more with than breaking pitches. I mean, his batting average on breaking pitches coming into tonight, we're about 100 points higher than fastballs, and you could see him be late. Now, he did make some nice contact on, you know, a couple balls, but he ends up going 1-for-5, and he's coming off a 3-for-31 road trip with 15 strikeouts. Now, he got off to such a hot start that you figured that it was going to come down eventually, at least a little bit. And now it has. And it'll be interesting to see how he digs himself out of this mini slump that he's currently going through. And I've been really impressed with what I've been seeing with Jarren Duran this season, despite this recent stretch, because it's just night and day difference from what we saw in 2022. So I'm hoping he digs himself out of that. Maybe he makes a couple more adjustments, you know, but again, at least he had one hit tonight and he ends up striking out once, but he does make contact four other times. So that's an improvement from what we saw on the road trip, especially at the end. Again, he went 3-for-31 in that road trip with 15 strikeouts. That's just, you know, that's just not the Jarren Duran we've seen in 2023. Again, there's so much to touch on tonight that we're going to hit on everything. Brian Bello, his performance, the offense, Rafi Devers putting together a couple hits, and we're getting in some texts as well about Kike Hernandez's night. A brutal night for Kike. Defensively, he makes two errors, one of which directly leads to a run. And a texter coming in, the Red Sox need to find a real shortstop because Hernandez is absolutely awful at that position. Just look at all of his errors he's made this year. And it's been tough. It's been really tough to watch Kike Hernandez play shortstop, right? And that's been an issue for this Red Sox team this entire year. And they have been hurt with injuries, right? There's something to be said about that, right? Yu Chang on the shelf, you know, Adalberto Mondesi, we really don't know where he stands at this point. We hoped he would be depth at this point, but he hasn't been. And so as he's recovering from, you know, the ACL injury that he has. So this is one of the things that happens, you know, has happened to the Red Sox when they didn't re-sign Xander Bogaerts. They had to thrust, you know, Kike Hernandez into this spot, and it's kind of gone as we'd expect. And that's where I think you can be upset with Chaim Bloom that we've had to see this as much as we have. Kike Hernandez playing shortstop. Again, it's 11 errors now for this guy, and he makes two tonight, both throwing errors. And it hurts the Red Sox. Again, this ended up being a one-run game, and there were a lot of things that the Red Sox did tonight that ended up hurting them in a game that seemed like it was going to be a blowout. So it was just, you know, a totality of, you know, the way they pitched, the way they fielded. But in the end, those little things ended up mattering in this game because they end up losing by just one run. And now they're only two games above 500, and now they're in last place in the American League East. Again, the number to call in, 617-779-7937. We're taking you all the way up to midnight after this Red Sox 9-8 loss at Fenway. Let's go back to the phones. Frank and Lowell wants to chat about Alex Cora. Frank, what's going on? Frank, you there?
Joe, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Frank.
I'm sorry. I'm really upset with the reliever, you know, with Cora and Bush and how they handle the relievers.
What upset you about tonight? I am curious.
Which he leaves them in too long.
Yeah,
you know, walk, 3-2, you know, foul ball. You bring these guys in to stop the bleeding. They're not stopping the bleeding, and this isn't new. You know, I've seen had nights where they, you know, bring a guy in, walks a guy, hits the next guy, throws a wild pitch, walks another guy. When are you going to pull him?
Yeah, no, Frank, I appreciate the call, and I think that's you watched tonight, and you're obviously frustrated what you saw from Jolly Rodriguez. I mean, he hasn't been very good. I mean, and then tonight it was brutal, right? Two-thirds innings pitched. Two hits, five runs. He gives up the grand slam to Jose Barrero, and then at that point you thought the game was completely out of reach, and it ends up really brutally hurting the Red Sox as the offense finally comes alive late in this game. They were in an interesting spot tonight, and I think you have to look at one thing I love about FanGraphs, among many things as a baseball nerd, is that they have a chart that details the latest work usage for the Red Sox, and they were in an interesting spot tonight with who they had available. Nick Pivetta, he went three innings a couple days ago, so he's on the mend. You can't throw him out there tonight. And they were where they were in the game, and the tough spot Alex Cora was put in was because of Brian Bello's performance. Again, he only allowed one run tonight, but to go four innings ended up really hurting the Red Sox in a night where they just didn't have the arms to set themselves up for a lot of success. You don't want to use Winkowski necessarily in that situation. I think with where the game was, you know, at that point, Justin Garza did fine. He allowed one run in 1 2/3 innings pitched. I just think it was a tough spot. You're not going to use Kenley Jansen, obviously. You're not going to use Chris Martin in the middle of the game. This is where Bayo's performance really hurt the Red Sox, by just going four innings and not giving them enough to really make it work. And, of course, Cutter Crawford, you know, with the ankle contusion that he suffered in the Arizona series, that ends up, the fact that he wasn't available as well, that ends up hurting the Red Sox in this game. Because maybe he's a guy that you do go to in this specific instance to give you some length. And that's how the Red Sox have tried to set themselves up, that they have guys that can go multiple innings in an instance where a starter just doesn't give you a lot, like Bayo wasn't able to do tonight. And again, I'm not going to crush Brian Bayo. He ended up battling, but he did allow a lot of traffic on the base paths, in which he ended up not getting hurt. And you have to give him a lot of credit, especially in the fourth inning where they had a runner at third after Will Benson hit a triple to lead off that frame. He ends up getting a ground out and two strikeouts to get out of it. So I love Brian Bayo. I'm so high on his future. But tonight, 97 pitches through four innings, that's just not going to get it done. And the tone was set with the 33-pitch first inning, where he just didn't have it. You could tell right from the get-go that he didn't have his rhythm, and he was not finding his groove on the mound. It's a credit to him and his stuff and his pitching ability that he can get through four innings and allow just one run. But in the end, it ended up killing the Red Sox from a pitching standpoint, that they couldn't get length out of him. And then you had to go to some middle relievers that you don't necessarily want to go to in a game that you really do want to win. Again, the number to call in, 617-779-7937. The Reds beat the Red Sox tonight by a score of 9-8. Let's go to Tony in Danvers. He wants to talk about the Reds' strong presence at Fenway. I want to hear about this. Tony, what's going on?
Hey, good evening. Yeah, I just wanted to pick your brain about something. So, you know, going to Celtics games, Red Sox games, Pats games, you know, there's always, you know, the strong, like, it feels like 99-98%, you know, of the home team there. You know, I went to the Angels game a month and some change ago. And obviously, you know, with Trout being there and, of course, you know, Ohtani, you know, I've never seen somebody from the opposing team get a standing ovation, you know, when they step up to the plate. But, you know, going to this game tonight, it was, you know, call me crazy. It seemed like there was, you know, 40%, 35% Cincinnati fans. So, yeah, I'm just not sure if it's, you know, just the underwhelming, you know, Red Sox, or if it's, you know, a generational thing or just a special occasion. You know, I know it was Jewish Heritage Month or Appreciation Game or whatnot. So, yeah, I'm just trying to figure it out, because it just doesn't seem like there's that presence, you know, that there was, you know, 5-10 years ago. So I'll hang up. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, the Red Sox right now are about a 500 team, right? I do think that'll change now that we're trickling towards summer, right? This is the only show in town right now. We thought there would be a couple more shows in town at this point, you know, coming into April with the Bruins and Celtics. Well, guess what? It's just the Red Sox. This is the only show in town right now. Might as well enjoy it. So come out to Fenway, especially as the weather's getting nice. It's finally nice here in New England. And I would expect it to get better, especially as this week progresses, too. Maybe it's just the Tuesday night thing. Maybe it's some Reds fans trying to relive the 1975-76 Big Red Machine days in that 1975 World Series. But, hey, listen, they came out and they got to see their team win tonight. Hopefully the Red Sox can win tomorrow, bounce back at Fenway Park against the Cincinnati team. Again, 9-8 the final. Cincinnati, a winner over the Red Sox. Still a lot to get to in Red Sox review. We will get to that in a little bit. But now let's see what's trending with Joe Braverman.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox rally fell short tonight as they dropped game one of their three-game set with the Cincinnati Reds 9-8. Sox trailed 9-3, entering the ninth, and had the tying run at third. But Tristan Casas' strikeout ended the ballgame. Brian Bayo got the loss, only going four innings. Game two of the series will take place tomorrow night. Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming have the call from Fenway at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. James Paxton will get the start for the Sox against Luke Weaver for Cincinnati. Rich Keefe will get you game ready at the MassMutual pregame show at 6:10. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investment. Fallout continues from the Celtics game loss to the Miami Heat. According to Shams Charania of The Athletic, head coach Joe Mazzulla is unlikely to be fired, and that the team will focus on adding veteran assistance to their coaching staff. And in other NBA news, Warriors president and general manager Bob Myers is stepping down after 12 seasons in Golden State. Myers constructed four championship teams in the Bay Area. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Red Sox Review, the Red Sox fall to the Cincinnati Reds 9-8 today at Fenway Park. So the Sox now in last place in the very tough American League East. They're 28-26, yet somehow with how good this division is, the Red Sox are at the bottom among the five teams. Tampa Bay did lose today, so the Red Sox didn't lose any game.
And that's the problem I have, like, when people want to criticize the Sox. Yeah, they're in last place, but look at the rest of the division. Well, and look at all the other divisions, they'd be in, like, second or third.
So if they were in the American League Central, they would be in first place. Because the Twins right now are 28-27. That's how bad that division is. It's actually the two Centrals, Joe. Joe Wild with you, Joe Braverman behind the glass. Joe, the NL Central, the Red Sox would be tied for first place. Brewers are 28-26 as well. So it's just geographically right now. The Red Sox are screwed because of where they're geographically located, because every other team in the American League East is pretty good. Toronto's been okay. I mean, they have been mediocre, as they kind of have been. I don't know. I've always been underwhelmed by Toronto. They're one of those teams that every year you look at what they have on paper and you always think they should be better. It's always, I think they're kind of like the Chargers in a lot of ways, because you look at the Chargers, it's like, okay, could they compete with, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs? Can they do something within that division? They could win the division. You sometimes hear, you know, people say around the NFL, well, that's been the Blue Jays the last couple of years. They haven't won the division, and they're at the bottom, you know, of the division. They are a half game up on the Red Sox, but I think you bring up a good point, Joe. I mean, it's for the Red Sox, they have, maybe at this point you'd say they'd hit expectations, because there was a point in time with this team, the way they were rolling offensively, they were exceeding expectations. Now they're just kind of hitting expectations. They're two games above 500. They're kind of hovering around that spot. And again, they have to win these games if they're going to compete for a wild card spot. I think that's a definitive thing, especially against a team like Cincinnati, who comes in 24-29. They're now 25-29 with the win. But you can't give away the game like the Red Sox did, where they, you know, Brian Bello only goes four innings, but he only gives up one run. So you're still in the game. You have a couple opportunities early on, but then the game gets away. And sure, the offense finally comes alive late, but it's too little too late. And now the Red Sox are 2-8 against NL Central teams. I still can't believe that. I just told you how bad this division is. You know, Pittsburgh at one point was playing well above its pay grade, and now they're below 500, as is the Cardinals. Both those teams swept the Red Sox. And now, you know, the Red Sox have fallen here against Cincinnati. They obviously have two more games in this series, so maybe what we saw at the end of this game is a precursor to an offensive outburst that we'll see over the rest of this homestand. Again, Joe Wild with you here, Joe Braverman alongside behind the glass. The number to call in, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. We're taking you all the way up to midnight. If you're just joining us, you didn't get a chance to tune into the game, we'll give you a quick recap of what happened. And I mentioned Brian Bello already. Four innings pitched, five hits, one run. And you could tell early on he didn't quite have the command. He throws 33 pitches in the first inning. He doesn't end up giving up a run, but the Reds do end up getting a run in the top of the second inning on an RBI fielder's choice to make it 1-0. And then with Bello out of the game after four innings, 97 pitches, 61 strikes, the Reds' offense comes alive a little bit more. But just to get a hit, just to hit a little bit more on Bayo's final line, you know, you could just tell he didn't have the confidence in the fastball. And it was pretty telling when you looked at StatCast and you saw that he had no swings and misses on it on 16 swings. And this is a guy that, you know, that really does pump it in. So he's got great stuff. The changeup was pretty good today. The ground ball rate, that continued on. 9 groundouts among 14 batted balls. So that's pretty on line with what he's done this season. He came into today with a 59% ground ball rate, which would have been fifth best among qualifiers coming into the night had he been qualified in terms of innings pitched, but he wasn't. You know, he's still kind of getting into the groove of the season. That was just his eighth start tonight. So he gets knocked out of the game. The Reds tack on an RBI double off of Justin Garza in the top of the fifth inning. Jake Fraley, the RBI double. And then the Red Sox had a chance to score in the bottom of the fifth inning, but Kike Hernandez, who singled to start off the fifth, he tries to score on a double by Raimel Tapia. He gets thrown out of the plate on a relay throw. That was just one of several tough instances for Kike Hernandez in this game. He commits two errors as well, and in the second one he committed in the top of the sixth inning, that actually allows Cincinnati to tack on another run. It was two on, one out in the top of the sixth inning, and then Matt McClain hits a ground ball to him, bad throw to Enmanuel Valdez, and that allows Will Benson to come in and score to make it 3-0. And in the top of the seventh inning, that's when the game really got away. Joely Rodriguez in his outing, 36 pitches, 16 strikes. He walks three in the top of the seventh inning. The big blow, Jose Barrero grand slam, but before that, he walked in a run.
High in the air into left field. It is way back, and it is gone. Off the light tower, a grand slam for Jose Barrero, and it's 8-0 Cincinnati. And that is the culmination of just about the most dispiriting night of the whole year.
Joe Braverman playing that, and I think Will with the perfect words there. I mean, at that point, it was just, it felt so lifeless. It felt like TD Garden did yesterday against the Heat, where, you know, you just, it ended up being lifeless. It felt like the fourth quarter of TD Garden, I should say, because, you know, TD Garden had some life going into it. There were times you thought the Celtics would come back. But the fourth quarter, that's when you kind of knew it was over. But that made it 8-0, and you thought the Red Sox were just completely done at that point. They end up getting three in the bottom of the seventh inning, and it ends up being a two-out rally. Enmanuel Valdez, two-out single, then Reese McGuire with an RBI double off the Green Monster. Raimel Tapia with an RBI triple. I mean, he has a nice game. He goes 3-for-5 in the leadoff spot. Devers with a broken bat bloop single. That's noteworthy. It's his 500th RBI in his Red Sox career. So he becomes the 35th player all-time to hit that mark for the Red Sox. 500 RBIs in his career, so pretty remarkable stuff there for Devers. And he's also the fourth youngest player to reach that mark for the Red Sox as well. Anyway, that makes it 8-3. Reds make it 9-3, sack fly from Spencer Steer. And at that point, again, you thought it was over, 9-3. Then the game goes into the bottom of the ninth inning. And then all of a sudden, this Red Sox offense decides to really awake, awaken. It was wild. Again, you thought it was over. There was one out in the inning. Kike Hernandez ends up lining out to start off that frame. And then Enmanuel Valdez kind of gets that inning rolling for the Red Sox. You know, he first walks, then Reese McGuire hits a double. Tapia with an RBI single. That makes it 9-4. And then Devers with an RBI single to make it 9-5. Justin Turner follows with an RBI single to make it 9-6, and then you're thinking, oh my God, what's happening? And then David Bell, the Reds manager, finally awakens, and he starts getting his bullpen really going around the time that Turner steps to the plate. So then Alexis Diaz comes in. He's the star closer for the Reds, and he comes in with a couple guys on, and Masataka Yoshida then steps to the plate and allows Red Sox to get one run closer.
Swinging a shot toward left center field. He gets down for a base hit. It's going all the way to the scoreboard. Here comes Devers to score. And in the second with a double is Yoshida as Turner stops at third. It is 9-7, and the tying runs are in scoring position with one out.
And that was the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show and your quest for savings at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop your local Nissan store or NissanUSA.com today. So that made it 9-7. And you're thinking, oh, did the Red Sox have a real shot here? And so Yoshida doubles. That drives Endeavors, brings Turner to third. So you have second and third, one out. It's a 9-7 game. Then Jaron Duran, RBI ground out. Justin Turner comes in to score. They had pinch run for Yoshida, so it was Pablo Reyes who got to third base. So you have a runner at third, two outs. Tristan Casas steps to the plate. Maybe this becomes like one of his signature moments of the season in his first full year in the big leagues. You thought that there was an opening there, And yeah, he thought maybe he was due 0 for 4 on the night. Well, he ends up striking out swinging. Ball game, Red Sox lose 9-8, and it ends up being sort of a missed opportunity for the Red Sox in this game, that their offense comes alive with 8 runs, yet the pitching staff just couldn't keep it together. The fielding, Kike Hernandez, we mentioned his tough night with 2 errors, and again, the shortstop spot's just been a tough spot for the Red Sox. And you can look at what Xander Bogaerts has done in San Diego. His numbers in May have been brutal. Brutal. Sub-300 slugging percentage. I was looking it up coming into tonight. At the same time, there was just such a stability of having him out there that the Red Sox obviously clearly miss, and that's why Trevor Story needs to get back as soon as possible to just stabilize this position, because the Red Sox have just been cycling player after player to try to make it work. And, you know, again, Kike's put in a tough spot here, you know, to have to play this position at more of an older age for him. You know, he's more comfortable out in other spots in the, you know, in the field. Obviously, center field, we've seen what he can do, but 11 errors this season for Kike Hernandez.
And you mentioned Bogaerts in May, .184.
He's been brutal. No, he's been really bad. And we saw it in that Red Sox series that he just couldn't hit. And that's been the case for him after. Joe, do you remember like the first 10 days of the season, how tough it was to just look at the San Diego box scores and just see he'd post like 2-hit night after 2-hit night and just smacking the ball all over the field? That hasn't happened. At the same time, he's been really good defensively this year. And, you know, he just brings a stability to that position.
I just like getting the giggles that the Padres are 25-29 with all the money they spent.
And you can get the giggles, too, that they're going to have him when he's 40 years old, at least based on the current contract. Maybe they get rid of it at a certain point. But, yeah, they're not good. No, they're not good. And we saw their lineup, too, Joe. Like, they don't have balance, you know. And that was, like, the contrast and the interesting contrast with the Red Sox and their offense this entire season, despite a tough stretch they had on this road trip. That they had balance despite not having the superstars, you know, especially a guy like Xander Bogaerts. But at the same time, you miss that stability. Hopefully Trevor Story, as he works his way back, can bring that to this position, because it has been really tough to watch Kike.
Well, you also have Arroyo coming back soon.
And you have Arroyo coming.
That can move some things.
Right. You bring him back. Obviously, he's working his way back from a hamstring injury, rehabbing with AAA Worcester. You know, Duvall's making his way back. Obviously, he's going to go to the outfield, but the pieces are starting to come back for the Red Sox, and this might be something we won't have to worry about for a little while.
It's almost like this part of the season is where you don't want it to go away. You don't want it to get, like, too far out of reach, where if you have a good run at the second half, you can't get that shot at the playoffs back.
Well, and that's why I think the offense needs to step it up again, because they're the driving force to get this team above 500, because we're starting to see that rotation, Joe, stabilize, because they've started to figure out, okay, who deserves to be in this rotation on a consistent basis. But this offense has allowed them to get above 500 to this point. They've been a top 10 offense despite a lull. Maybe this gets them back underway. Joe, are you concerned about Rafi Devers?
No, not really.
So I'm not either. The only thing I was looking up today was he has never in back-to-back months in his major league career posted back-to-back months of sub-300 on base percentage. And coming into tonight, if you looked at what he did March/April and then May, back-to-back months below 300 on base percentage, I think it was really encouraging that he got 2 hits tonight. Because I was starting to worry, and I think in the end he's going to stabilize this thing. He's just too talented. He's too good. But at the same time, like, he got off to a really nice start the season, and then he went through this 7-for-49 stretch, that stretch from late April into early May, and then he's stabilized again, and then it's kind of hit this little lull.
Yeah, everyone's got like a lull or a slump they go through. I mean, look at Justin Turner's average in the first few weeks of the season.
Oh man, through I think it was April 10th, his slash line was like, it was really bad. But since then, he's been very solid. Justin Turner, professional hitter, as I like to call him. But with Devers, they need to get him going. I mean, that's an obvious thing to say, but the 2 hits tonight, I hope, sends him on his way. The first hit was a broken bat single, and you know, again, he gets a little bit lucky there, but the next one he ends up hitting harder. That's the type of stuff you want to see from Rafi Devers. And again, that's why the underlying metrics for him made you feel a little bit better about his season so far. And I think it's okay to be a little disappointed in what you've seen from him. At the same time, it's not like he's been brutal. You know, especially from a home run, runs batted in standpoint, he's top 10 in Major League Baseball in those two categories. So he's been a run producer. I just think it's been a season in which you'd like to see him be more disciplined. And I think that's okay to be, I think, a little disappointed in what you've gotten out of him so far.
You know what I think it is? Remember there was a stretch last year where, like, he kept hitting into the shift every time. And so with the banning of the shift, like, there had to be basically a new formula to figure out, okay, how do we defend this guy on the infield? And the first couple weeks of the season looked really good, but now fielders and coaching staffs are starting to figure out, okay, this is where he hits it the most. Let's put our guys here and there without, you know, breaking these shift rules.
And I think the other thing too is he's over swinging a little bit. Like he's, like, Rafi's a, I mean, he just likes to grip it and rip it, right? And that's what makes him so fun. And he hits it so dang hard and so freaking far that it's awesome to watch. The only thing is, like, he you look at what he did last year on base-wise, it was a lot more disciplined, at least, than what you're seeing this year. Like, he did have a 358 on base, and he's at 285 now. And the Statcast, you know, you're looking at what the percentiles of where he was. Last year, he was 48th in Major League Baseball in walk percentage. In the 40th percentile. This year, he's 9th percentile. So it's like he's swinging a little bit too much. And obviously, the protection, he's the anchor of the lineup, you know, and they're looking to him a lot more.
That's another thing. Part of me is thinking, you know, is he putting it on himself with a struggling offense, being like, I'm the guy who has to carry this thing, so I got to get stuff going.
I think there's something to that, and you could see it in his emotions, especially in the first at-bat tonight. He had, like, a center-cut pitch that he flat out to center, and he was carrying the bat, like, down the first base line, and there was so much frustration in his face. And, you know, that road trip, we talked about some of the struggles that some guys had during that road trip. I mean, Jaron Duran was 3 for 31, 15 strikeouts. Devers, after the two-homer game, you remember that two-homer game, right, he had against San Diego and shares a smile with Xander Bogaerts? I mean, that was just an awesome moment. But 2 for 23 since then, and then, you know, coming into tonight, again, he was 0 for 3 before getting hits in his last two games. But the stat I mentioned before, a fourth youngest player in Red Sox history to get to 500 RBIs, that's how special this dude is. And obviously they signed him to a huge extension, so they know he's this special. And I think he'll ultimately turn it around. But I think the amount of overswinging is definitely a little concerning out of him when you need him to be the guy for this team to be ultimately competitive.
He's got to know that it starts and ends with him.
For sure, and he definitely knows that too. But it's like, because they got, Joe, remember, like, I mean, with Duran, they got such a hot stretch, right? So that helps mask some of Devers' deficiencies, you know, to start the season. And now they really need him to step up. And I think he will, because he's that good. And who doesn't love that guy in this town? Because he's the man. Rafi Devers, they signed him to the long extension. He's the face of the franchise. And I'm excited to see him turn it around, but it just needs to happen. And again, the selectivity, when you look at on base wise, the fact that for back to back months, he's not even going to be at 300 on base. That's a concerning sign that does definitely need to change. Red Sox fall tonight 9-8 against the Cincinnati Reds at Fenway Park. They'll be back at it tomorrow against the Reds again, 7:10 first pitch in that game. If you missed the start time or what the start time would be, same time as today, 7:10. But the Red Sox now at home 15-12, 28-26 against NL Central teams 2-8. On this season against those NL Central teams. That's got to change if they want to compete in the playoffs. Again, the number to call in, 617-779-7937. You can also chime into the conversation texting 37937. Let's go back to the phones. David in Florida wants to talk about the Red Sox and how it correlates to the Celtics. Very curious to hear this. David, what's going on?
I'm just wondering if, like, somehow behind closed doors, Alex Cora paid off the Joey Mazzulla and the Celtics to take the limelight away from them for a few weeks because Cora knew that the Red Sox were in trouble. He was afraid, so maybe he just bribed the Red Sox, the Celtics a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, the asking price there would have to be pretty high to make that happen.
I mean, those the poorer in these Red Sox better thank those Celtics quite a bit for making things a little easier for them lately.
Yeah, no, David, and I appreciate the call. And I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, listen, they've had a tough year plus now, you know, in terms of just keeping up with the rest of the teams in New England in regards to, you know, how they've performed. Obviously, the Bruins had the historic regular season, Celtics, great season before the playoffs where things really just cratered. And, you know, now, again, as I mentioned before, Joe, Red Sox only show in town, so better start tuning in. And again, there's a lot to still like with this team, despite the fact that they fell tonight to the Reds 9-8. The offense at least came alive late. A lot of young talent as well that I think will continue to get better. We'll talk a little bit more about it, and we'll wrap up Red Sox review right after this on WEEI. Wrapping things up here on Red Sox Review, the Sox end up losing to the Cincinnati Reds tonight 9-8 after a late comeback in tonight's game at Fenway. The Red Sox scored 5 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. They had a tying run at third base, and then Tristan Casas ends up striking out to end it. So the Red Sox end up losing to the Reds, and now we're in last place in the American League East. Toronto jumped them because they won tonight against Milwaukee. Baltimore a winner over Cleveland. The Baltimore score over the Guardians 8-5. Toronto beats the Brewers 7-2. Now the Rays did lose, so the Sox didn't lose any ground on the Rays. Cubs beat them 2-1. Right now the Yankees in progress against the Seattle Mariners in Seattle. Yankees on top 7-2 over the M's, top of the seventh inning in that West Coast game. Joe Braverman behind the glass. Again, you can still chime in if you want, 617-779-7937, or also shoot us a text at 37937 as we wrap things up here on Red Sox Review. Just want to quickly hit on AAA Worcester and what happened there today. They also played the Cincinnati affiliate Louisville. They played in Louisville today. And Adam Duvall made a rehab appearance there. He's rehabbing with the Woo Sox, and in his first rehab appearance, he ends up going 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts as he's rehabbing from that distal radius fracture in his left wrist. Couple of other notes from that game. Bobby Dalbec hit another home run in that contest. 7 home runs now for him in his last 13 games. He also has an 11-game hitting streak right now. William Abreu, who was a part of that deal that brought Christian Vasquez to the Astros at the trade deadline last year, and Manuel Valdez obviously comes back to the Red Sox in that trade along with Abreu. He went deep. He's had a really nice season in AAA. One of those prospects you definitely want to keep an eye on and could be a part of a future here with Boston. And looking at that trade, I really like the return that the Red Sox got for a guy in Christian Vasquez. If you've looked up his stats, he frankly hasn't been good this year. I also just did want to hit on this just to add a little bit of lightness to the night. Obviously, a tough night for the Red Sox, and it ends up being a tough night for the Woo Sox because the Reds and their star prospect, Ellie De La Cruz, he hits a walk-off home run against the Woo Sox in the bottom of the ninth inning of that game in Louisville, and it's off Caleb Ort. And it was a bomb, 432 feet off the bat for Ellie De La Cruz against Caleb Ort, who we saw give up his fair share of home runs.
Is there any chance he gets back up here? Because I feel like he's done.
It might be it for him, you know. And you know, the tough thing is, like, you give up a home run like that, the bomb, it's such a star prospect, it's going to make its rounds in Twitter, and you know people are going to make jokes about it too, Joe. So, tough going for Caleb Ort, as it is for the Red Sox tonight, as they fall 9-8 against the Reds. Again, a couple of minutes left in the program. We'll go back to the phones one more time. Len and Lynn wants to talk about the similarities between the Celtics and Red Sox loss. Len, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Listen, I've been at the Sox game tonight. I've been at the Celtics last night. Both games horrific. I just wanted to say, you know, I see a lot of similarities. Both were losses. Both tried to come back from big deficits, and they didn't make it. And, you know, I don't know what is the state of Boston sports these days. Are we really waiting for the New England Patriots to bail us out? Is Bill Belichick really going to come riding in on a horse? like a big white horse? Please, tell me.
It's a great question, Len. We appreciate the call. I think the Red Sox are going to give you some optimism this season. Not that confident in the Patriots. So I think we might have to wait toward winter to watch ourselves a true contender.
Also, Sarah, there are some people like coming out of baseball hibernation. They're just starting right, out there's to like, watch
what's
the
going
Red
on
Sox.
With the Red Sox. And again,
so they haven't paid attention the first 2 months, so we got to like get them back on track. This is what's going on.
And as I've been saying, Joe, this is the time. We're the only show in town now. So I think, again, with this season with the Red Sox, you're going to see some things that are going to make you feel optimistic about the future. I do genuinely feel that way. Despite the fact they lose tonight, despite the fact that they might hover around 500 for the most part this season.
All the weight will now be on James Paxton.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We'll quickly preview that matchup here as we wind down. Paxton gets the start tonight for the Red Sox, and this will be interesting because, you know, last time out was the first time he pitched on regular rest, and it didn't end up going well for him. In that last start, he ends up picking up his first loss in a Red Sox uniform. His first two starts were actually pretty good. First time out, it was against the Cardinals. 5 innings, 2 runs, ends up getting a no decision. Kenley Jansen blew that game. And then second time out, his best start against San Diego. 1 run allowed, 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, ends up picking up his first win in the Red Sox uniform. And then last time out, again, regular rest. This guy has not pitched at the major league level in a long time coming into the season. He ends up allowing 5 runs in 3 innings and walks 3, strikes out 5. So not a good outing out of him. He looks to bounce back tomorrow against the Reds, as does this entire Red Sox team. They showed some fight late. I think that's the one difference for the people trying to compare the Red Sox and Celtics. If it went the way it did it through the first 5 innings of this game, I think you could have made a pretty fair argument. But at least the Red Sox showed some fight. They had the tying run at third. Just couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, they were fashionably late.
They were. That's the perfect way to put it. Wise words from Joe Braverman, who did a fantastic job behind the glass, as he always does. But the final, again, 9-8. The Reds, a winner over the Red Sox. There will be brighter days ahead, Boston. They're coming.
It's going to be in the 80s this week.
Exactly. Especially temperature-wise. But again, 9-8 the final. Reds a winner over the Red Sox. Red Sox back at it at 7:10 tomorrow. Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show begins at 6:10 along the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. For Joe Braverman, I'm Joe Wiles saying so long here on Red Sox Review.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.